You're listening to Agriculture Today.
You look at legislative days before the election, we've got about 3 weeks.
Chairman of the Senate Ag Committee from Arkansas, Dr. John Bozeman, on the next farm bill.
So we're going to break, go home, and then come back, and we'll be here about 3 weeks, and then break again till mid-November. So I think that it's really important that we get this done tomorrow. If not, we're going to be in a situation where there is no time.
What's the largest obstacle at this point? Changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Democrats seeking a 2-year implementation delay. Republicans have offered one. And the uncertainty after the election makes immediate action increasingly important.
Lots of good things in there. It doesn't matter if you're in the dairy business, if you're a forester, or you're into specialty crops or row crops, or again, cattle. The list goes on and on. There's 100 bills or so in there that are bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans. I was handing out the different cards of all of the things that they had asked for and now had gotten in there. And it really is something that we can be very, very proud of, that this, the bill itself, the coming together of the bill has been very bipartisan.
Businesses supplying farmers and ranchers generated more economic value, employment, and worker compensation than ag production itself. Yeah, USDA's Economic Research Service says upstream ag activity produced $570 billion in output, contributing $241 billion to gross domestic product in 2017. Now, farm production generated $423.3 billion in output and $156 billion in value added during the same year. Upstream activity supported more than 1.56 million jobs, representing 1.28% of private sector employment. Worker compensation, $118.7 billion across upstream industry, nearly three times the $40 billion paid directly by farms and ranches. Domestic businesses, though, produced 92% of the upstream output, with imports supplying the remainder. Now, Tyson Foods' third quarter results show poultry profits strengthening while tight cattle supplies continue driving heavy beef losses. Chicken generated $488 million in adjusted operating income compared with a $138 million adjusted loss in beef. Beef volume for Tyson fell nearly 16% from last year as average prices increased over 12%. Quarterly beef sales declined to $5.39 billion, showing higher wholesale values, not enough to offset reduced processing volume. And trade policy and nearshoring could create new demand opportunities for U.S. cotton as brands reconsider where denim is produced. Guernsey America's managing partner Bob Antoshak says tariffs, sourcing rules, customs enforcement, and forced labor restrictions now influence production decisions almost as much as labor cost. It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, first of all, you mentioned G.T. Thompson, and he did a tremendous job in the House in getting a bipartisan bill done. Nobody really thought we could do that.
It's been a long time coming, but it looks like Congress ready to move on a new farm bill. The chairman of the Senate Ag Committee from Arkansas, Dr. John Bozeman, on the Agricultural Act of 2026.
What we did was take his bill and then build a little bit on it and decided to go ahead and actually put E15 in the bill. And so we're really excited about that. That's something that, you know, everybody's been striving to do for a long, long time. And so that's something that's great. We're also adjusting the loan limits. As you mentioned, you know, the 2018 Farm Bill ran out in 2023. Loan limits now are so out of date. 2018 Farm Bill was based on 2012 data. So the world is totally different now than it was then. So we're going to get that straight. That will really help our farmers a bunch as they're, you know, buying different items, building different things. But along with that, there's all kinds of things for specialty crops. This farm bill does more for specialty crops. Again, building on GT's great work than any farm bill has ever done. So we're very proud of that. We've done a tremendous job, I think, on the row crops in the sense of helping them under reconciliation. We were able to do that in that particular bill. We were actually able to increase the farm bill by $68 billion in reconciliation. So that's already being done, and now we're building on that also. So lots of good things in there. It doesn't matter if you're in the dairy business, if you're a forester, or you're into specialty crops or row crops or, again, cattle. The list goes on and on. There's 100 bills or so in there that are bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans. I was handing out the different cards of all of the things that they had asked for and now had gotten in there. And it really is something that we can be very, very proud of, that the bill itself, the coming together of the bill, has been very bipartisan.
But what's the timeline? Is there enough time in this Congress before it ends to pass the legislation?
Senator Thune is actually the number one Republican in the conference. He's the majority leader, but also he's one of our most active members on the Ag Committee, and is very, very proud of coming from a very farm state, and has been a tremendous help in moving things forward. So, yeah, that's a big advantage. We've got to get it out of committee. Right now we're hung up a little bit. In fact, we're hung up a lot in the sense the Democrats are demanding a 2-year delay with the work that we did with SNAP. The states have a huge error rate. And, you know, we saw what happened in various states regarding just not doing a good job of managing money, managing federal money. And so what's happening is a lot of people receiving benefits that simply don't deserve to get those benefits. So we're trying to eliminate that. And, they're pushing hard that we go for a 2-year delay. We've offered them a 1-year delay. So we'll have to wait and see if they take it.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
They announced that they are planning to reopen the border between the U.S. and Mexico.
Tyler Cousins, director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center.
Mexico reported cases of New World Screwworm in late 2024, November 2024 specifically. At that time, USDA closed the border and kept it closed for about 2 months. The border was reopened in late January 2025 and remained open until mid-May. The border was once again closed and briefly reopened for 1 week in mid-July, and about 5,000 head of cattle came across the border during that time into the U.S. But ever since that time, the border has actually been closed. So for more than a year, we've seen no livestock imports from Mexico. Now, in USDA's July 24th announcement, they noted that on August 24th, a phased reopening of the border will start. USDA is planning to open the westernmost border crossing with Mexico, and that is the port of Douglas, Arizona. Now, at this time, USDA said that will be simultaneously initiate the operational steps necessary to subsequently open the border crossing at Santa Teresa, New Mexico, and Columbus, New Mexico. USDA also noted that every animal entering the United States through these ports will undergo a full USDA inspection to ensure that they are free of any signs of New World Screwworm. USDA also noted that the reopening timeline will remain flexible, may be adjusted based on Mexico's progress in maintaining action plan milestones and addressing critical issues. Then lastly, for the USDA's news release, they also noted that the opening of ports may be paused if USDA identifies increased risk in Sonora and Chihuahua via post-opening audits or other observations and information. Now, that's kind of a little bit of the background on the report or news release that we got from USDA. Let's dive into a little bit more of some of the background on cattle imports from Mexico. So let's look at some of the historical numbers and kind of look at how many head of cattle were imported typically from those ports along the Mexican border. So specifically, we're going to kind of look at some of those imports of heifers, steers, breeding stock, and roping stock, and specifically look at the years of 2023 and 24. As representative years prior to the border actually being closed due to New World Screwworm. So kind of breaking out some of those trade flows of cattle through those ports, looking specifically first off at Douglas, Arizona, in 2023 and 24, we're seeing about 180 to 190, potentially 200,000 head of cattle coming through just that one port. I do also want to note that Arizona does have another port where we do see cattle come through, and that's Nogales, Arizona. We're seeing about 150, 160,000 head come through there in 23 and 24. So in total, Arizona, we're seeing about 360,000 head a year come through those two ports there in Arizona. Now, the APHIS did also note that they're going to open up ports in Columbus, New Mexico, and Santa Teresa, New Mexico. Columbus, New Mexico, in 2023 and 24, we were seeing about 135 to 140,000 head come through that one port. Now, Santa Teresa is hands down the largest port where we saw most cattle come through a couple of years ago. And we were seeing potentially of 530 to about 500,000 head of cattle come through that one port, Santa Teresa, New Mexico. But in total, New Mexico, we were seeing well over 600,000 head per year come through just those two ports. So kind of that Columbus, New Mexico, and Santa Teresa are kind of those key ports that we're watching as far as the phased reopening from USDA. Also wanted to note that there are a handful of ports where we do see cattle come through along the Texas border there. So kind of in total, the number of head that we would see come through Texas on an annual basis would be about 240,000 head. So if we look at it in total, in the last couple of years, 2023 and 24, across those ports along the border, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, in total, we're seeing about 1.2 million head come through all of those ports on an annual basis.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
President Trump has stepped back from these massive strikes that he was planning on Iran. Iran has been striking U.S. bases. They've been hitting neighboring countries. Iran has been doing a lot to try and prolong this thing. And President Trump had enough. And it looked like he was getting for a massive, massive show of force. Well, just before he was ready to pull the trigger, hit the button, whatever the situation is, Iran stepped up and said, whoa, let's talk.
Josh Linville is vice president of fertilizer with StoneX.
Now, the unfortunate part is we've seen this before. We want to talk. And all of a sudden it looks like something's happening and it falls apart and it prolongs it. My personal point of view, this isn't a StoneX thing. This is just Josh Linville talking, is that Iran is trying to drag this out as long as humanly possible. They want to drag this out. And frankly, if I'm them, I want to drag it out until November. I want to put all the stress I possibly can on the American public. So when midterms roll around, they blame this whole thing on the Republicans. The Democrats come in because they know when the Democrats come in, the next 2 years in U.S. politics is just going to be the Democrats going after Trump, going after his administration, his officials, and doing everything they possibly can to stop him from making any sort of progress. And that's a good thing for the Iranian regime. So that's what they're doing. Now, from the U.S. standpoint, hopefully these peace talks happen. Hopefully there's some progress with it. If we find normalcy to the Strait of Hormuz, that would be the best thing we could ever see for the nitrogen marketplace, for the phosphate marketplace.
But is there anything positive?
I know that at least grain prices, they've bounced off of their lows and they're showing a little bit of appreciation. They've stalled out here of late, but they're still nowhere near as bad as they were. So hopefully we'll continue to see that. I hope that your guys' crops are looking good out there. I know there's some struggle points out there, but harvest is coming up, guys. For those of you who apply in the fall, you know, as we start to look forward to October, November, December timeframes, don't lose sleep. You're going to get there quicker than you think. I mean, we're always starting to sit there, look at it. We're in August, a few more weeks, we're in September, and all of a sudden it's like it's harvest time, and then we're putting a fertilizer on the ground. The rest of the world has to start making preparations for next spring.
Another positive in the bean market is demand. Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Domestic demand is relatively strong. USDA's June crush report was expected to show about 218 million bushels. Now, we'll get that report after the market today, so we'll see if that actually comes into fruition, versus about 197 million bushels last year, so roughly an increase of about 11%. Right now, we are expecting the crush to continue running above year-ago levels to reach the USDA's projected 2.65 billion bushels for the 25-26 crush. At least, you know, that's the number that we need to continue to see in order to get, we need to see a continued decent pace in terms of the crush in order to reach that projected 2.65. The renewable diesel, biodiesel demand, that's supportive of soybean oil. Combined U.S. biodiesel and renewable diesel production reportedly reached a record 497 million gallons in May. And the soybean oil used for renewable or green diesel surged to a record 1.434 billion pounds, roughly up around 17% from April and about 40% higher versus May of 2025. So the domestic demand is there. A couple things working against the soybean market, aside from potentially the weather turning more friendly. We'll see how that plays out, because over the next few weeks can be very important in terms of the pod filling, but also seasonality. The November soybean prices have declined during the first half of August in 10 of the past 15 years. So there's some historical tendency for the market to be under a bit of pressure at this time in the calendar. So we'll see if that plays out.
Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I think what we need to focus on is three areas primarily.
Tom Benny is Senior Vice President of Ocean Freight with StoneX.
Firstly, the Straits of Hormuz. Obviously, people are familiar with what's going on there. I think to make it very clear, the Straits of Hormuz is not in a normal situation. Vessels will go only in and out if they have security from either naval convoys or from governments that say that they are allowed to go in, and will cover them from an insurance perspective. And three, if the marine insurance market will actually give them coverage to go in and out. So essentially, the Straits is in a trickle situation at the moment for vessels going in and out, and we're nowhere near a normalization, particularly with the recent attacks on merchant ships. The second area we need to look at is the Red Sea, with the Houthis sending notices out to commercial shipping that if they load in Saudi Arabia, they will be seen as targets, and they have attacked ships in the past and have threatened to attack ships in the future. And that's one of the pipelines that is still open out of Saudi Arabia coming out of the Red Sea. So that essentially has a major impact on oil flows. Thirdly, obviously, as you've mentioned, what's going on in the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. And that's of particular interest for the grain markets, because you've got Russia and Ukraine are major exporters of wheat, and Ukraine also of corn. And so we are looking at a situation right now where there have been literally hundreds of ships have been attacked in that area over the last few years, but very, very focused now on the last month, where Ukraine is attacking Russian vessels, and Russia is attacking the Ukraine infrastructure to export. So we could have a situation, I think primarily right now, we have a situation where ships that have not gone in to discharge or have not gone in to load will not go in under the current scenario. The main export port out of Russia, which is Novorossiysk, is still open and is still functioning during daylight hours. But again, under a shipping contract, you have a war risk clause, and those clauses will be enacted so that major vessel owners will not allow their ships to go in there unless they have a big security given to them by the authorities.
But what happens if a ship is hit?
If they hit the engine room, that ship's being taken out for a long period of time. And then it has to be towed to a dry dock. It has to be, it take quite a long time to repair, et cetera, et cetera. In 2023, when we had the big problem in Ukraine, ships were stuck there for 2-3 years. So, you know, before they were able to get out. So we can take a fair amount of ships out of commission here. And I think I think a lot of the smaller ships that get moving grain into local markets out of that area, I think that the biggest impact is around those. So you'll see perhaps bigger ships coming in from Argentina and the US and Canada bringing wheat into North Africa, and then it gets distributed from there in smaller parcels.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
And again, we were able to essentially double it in reconciliation. We're increasing it more.
Chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, Dr. John Bozeman from Arkansas, on MAP and FMD funding.
We need to get through the Farm Bill and get the resources that we need to do a better job. And then that's really what we need to be concentrating on is finding new markets, value-adding the markets that we have. And, that's the answer, I think, going forward. Right now, we're in a situation where we've got a lot of production worldwide that we didn't used to have. Brazil has come online big time. They've always been able to grow a lot, but they hadn't had the infrastructure to get from the fields to a road to a port. The Chinese have gone in and fixed all that. So you've got Brazil, you've got India, you've got, Vietnam. I mean, the list goes on and on. So again, finding new markets, valuating what we've got, and then also the federal government buys a lot of food in the food programs, prisons, all of those kind of things, making sure that that food is American made. We're moving food for peace into USDA. And I think that'll be very, very helpful in making sure that those goods for, people that are overseas that desperately need help in situations, that again, we're getting American grown, products over there from our farmers. And so I think that, things like that, it's just everything working together to get us out of this difficult situation that we're in. You know, right now, if you're growing something in the ground, you're losing money.
As a former linebacker for the Arkansas Razorbacks, says he'd happily put on a helmet if it would help.
Well, I wish it was as easy as just smacking somebody. I'd be glad to do that. But you're exactly right. When you look at legislative days before the election, we've got about 3 weeks. So we're going to break. Go home and then come back and we'll be here about 3 weeks and then break again till mid-November. So I think that it's really important that we get this done tomorrow. If not, we're going to be in a situation where there is no time, to come back, pass it out of committee, conference it, put it on the floor and pass it in the House and the Senate, I think would be very, very difficult. So that's why we're going forward, with the vote tomorrow. And then we'll do whatever we need to do. But we're certainly committed to getting this thing passed. But who knows what's going to happen after the election? So we need to get this thing done sooner rather than later, for sure. For the last couple of years, we've been talking about putting more farm in the Farm Bill. And that was a commitment that we made. We've done that. This is all about, helping the people that are actually growing the stuff that we're eating and have the cheapest, safest food supply of any place in the world. So we're committed to helping them. I understand how difficult it is. And I also understand for us to keep it such that, the people that are working so hard now can pass that down to the next generation is so, so very important, not only about farmers, but about rural America. So for all kinds of reasons, we need to get this passed. I think we've got a great opportunity to do it. Hopefully we can come together and get the votes that we need to get it out of committee. If not, then it's not going to be for lack of trying, and we'll know, who is just talking about helping farmers and who's actually voting to help farmers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.